You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
So, hey, great to have you here today, man. Welcome to Fallback Sunday. You know, some of y'all are saying, what in the world is Fallback Sunday? I have no idea what it is other than just a made-up day. Beth says to me when she saw straw on the back of a trailer, on the back of my truck, did you make this day up? And I said, no, I didn't. The staff did it. So if it doesn't work, it's the staff's fault. If it does work, I'll take some credit for it. How's that? Is that fair? All right. So here's, you know, there's nothing wrong with trying to find reasons to celebrate. We got a great day ahead of us today. Man, I'm so excited. Today, we also have next steps that are kicking off today. And immediately following the service, Johanna's been working on that for all those that were baptized and those that are new. And maybe you want to stick around. Feel free. If you didn't sign up, they got a great class planned or life course planned for us here after service today, and certainly there's going to be some activity for the kids, hay rides and things like that, because we are falling back. Isn't that right? So we're celebrating Fallback Sunday, and you know, oddly enough, what's interesting is it's also the fifth year in this building. Isn't that cool? So kind of just a little whatever, you know, nugget. 5 years in the building, and we gain an hour, and not to mention it's Fallback Sunday, and it just kind of tied all together with our series of messages this past four weeks is putting life back together, right? And so putting life back together, you know, we talked about comeback that first week, how when our lives are broken, you know, torn apart, or when we're in need of being put back together, we need a comeback in our life. And so we led off the series with that. And then the next week, it was like looking back. And Ashton had a great message about looking back at and looking at how God can put the pieces of our lives back together. And after all, he is the creator, isn't he? And he created us, and he's the one who, and if we look back, we can see those pieces that God has done and that God will do, reminding us that God will do it again. And then we talked about taking back the idea of take back what the enemy has stolen, right? Because when our lives are a wreck or when our lives are broken or torn apart, man, in order to put our lives back together, we need to redeem the current situation, and we need God to take back what the enemy has stolen. Is that not right? Chris spoke about that last week. And then this week, conveniently, do you guys have any idea what the sermon title is? Man, Fallback. Fallback Sunday, right? So today we're at Fallback. And here's the idea with today. And I just kind of share this with you. Many of us can relate to the idea that our lives are in need of being put back together. In order to be put back together, man, we need to fall back and let God do what he does. Is that not right? Isn't that all right? We need to let God allow him to do what he does. And tell me how this has worked for many of us. Many of us have gotten ahead of God, have we not? We've gotten ahead of God. We've gone on ahead of God. We've made choices and decisions and operated outside of the quote-unquote will of God, right? And in getting ahead of God, we found ourselves in a place where they're not so healthy and quite ineffective. Okay, maybe you're here this morning and you can identify with this. When I'm putting this message together, I'm preaching to myself. I'm speaking to myself today, right? The idea that I need to fall back and let God do what he does in and through me. And when we do this, we experience health and vitality. And when we do this, we're much more effective and fulfilled in serving his will and purposes. How has this worked for us? So far, when we look back in our lives, and all of us, we can relate with this one thing, that our lives have been broken, or we have been. Maybe this morning you're here and your life is basically not put together. You feel out of rhythm, out of sync. You're just not quite where you need to be spiritually. And when we look back, what about when we ran out and against what everyone was trying to say to us, we got ahead of God and we were married that first time. And how did that work for us? Or when we bought that car and the payment was just too much for us to handle. You guys know what I'm talking about here this morning, right? Getting ahead of God, doing things, making those choices outside of what his will would be. What about when we chose to do our own thing and did not listen to anyone else about people and places and things that we chose to experience? All of us are in some form of recovery that are here today, right? And the reason that we're in recovery is why? Because we got ahead of God and we didn't listen and we didn't trust. Some of us are sitting right here and now, and if we could just go back and wait upon Him to lead us and to guide us and to help us, man, our lives would be in such a better place. Would you not agree? Right? So here's the deal. I don't know about you, but I am not very patient at times. And I literally I find myself sometimes praying, Lord, give me patience right now. Right? In need of patience. God, give me patience. I'm dealing with the kids, best at life group on Mondays. And Monday is a great night for my wife to come and experience community with the ladies here at the shelter. And it's a great night for her to leave, or at least me come home and be at home and be with the kids, because then it helps me identify with what she deals with more than I. Guys, it's kind of a joke. Sorry. You know, being with the kids and stuff for, never mind. So the truth is that, Lord, give me patience, because at times I need patience. And I know that you moms out there need patience as well. And what I believe is that this idea of patience, this idea of falling back, this idea of waiting, this idea of not getting ahead of God, this idea of allowing God to speak to us, I believe that we get ahead of God for two reasons. And those two reasons are simple. The first reason is we choose not to trust God for whatever reason. Some of us have never trusted God, and that's not coming from judgment. It's just it's the truth. We choose not, and maybe we've never chose not to trust God. The other thing is that we choose not to listen to God. And I just want to tell you that the truth is that when we choose not to trust God and we choose not to listen to God, we find ourselves in need of God putting our lives back together. So, I don't know, is Jerry Springer still on TV? All right. Jerry Springer makes a living on these two reasons. He makes a living on the idea that people don't trust God and that people don't listen to God. Right, and truthfully, the show really is just a reflection of our stories, and the stories of those that we know. Correct? It's stories of people who chose not to trust God, and they find themselves in awkward situations and unhealthy. You're with me, right? I think you're with me. And here's the truth. The truth is that in the Scripture, it is no different. I mean, you can go all the way back to Genesis, and it is like one big, hairy, Jerry, that rhymes, Springer show, right? It is the Jerry Springer show. Look at Genesis chapter 16. It's crazy what goes on. Some of you are like, oh my goodness, that's in the Bible? Well, you know, but look here, this is the truth. It says this in Genesis chapter 16. It says, now, I'm just going to say their new names, Sarah and Abraham, but bear with me. Before it was Sarai and Abram, right? But now let's just say Sarah. It's a long story. Read the Bible and you'll know what I'm talking about. But John chapter 16, it says this. Now, Sarah and Abraham's wife had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant, right? So Sarah wasn't able to bear children for Abraham, but she had an Egyptian servant, and that Egyptian servant's name is Hagar. All right. So Sarah said to Abraham, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Now, buckle up, folks. Jerry's about to enter the scene. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abraham agreed, wow, with Sarah's proposal, conveniently. And in verse 3, so Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarah, with contempt. Huh? Then Sarah said to Abraham, this is all your fault. Isn't that funny how that works, guys? Not that we would know, but I'm just saying. I put my servant into your arms. This is nutty. But now that she's pregnant, she treats me with what? Everyone, contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Man, this is crazy. Well, it's not so crazy. I mean, never mind. Abraham replied, look, she is your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. He's like, man, I'm watching the football game. You need to deal with this. Deal with it any way you want. Just go take care of it. Then Sarah treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. Now, on a serious note, there is one story that when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God to help me with. Because I can get the contempt and I can get the strain and I can get the stress and I can get, look, Abraham and Sarah, they created an environment that was a no-win deal, right? They messed up, okay? And what I don't understand is why did Hagar have to suffer like she suffered? Here's what we know to be true. Is that when you and I get outside of God's will, when we don't listen to God and we don't trust God, not only do we find ourselves in chaos and in confusion and in need of God putting our lives back together, but it inevitably affects other people. Does it not? You don't have to amen me if you don't want. Sin is not, you can't contain sin. Does that make sense? You can't contain it. When we begin to get ahead of God, when we begin to take matters in our own hands, when we begin to move forward without listening and waiting and hearing and trusting God, we not only affect ourselves and our own family, but we affect others and we affect the generations that come after. This situation lives on even today. With the division between Hagar's line and the division between Abraham and Sarah. So here's my point. My point is this, is that we are all in need of God putting our lives back together. And one thing that I think that we don't talk enough about in the church, and when I grew up, we did. And forgive me for not sharing with you all this more often. Here's the truth. The truth is that God loves you and that God has a will for your life. God has a plan, purpose. He has a will for your life. And when we don't wait on God's plan, when we choose not to fall back and allow God to speak to us and allow God to take the lead and guide us, what happens is we screw things up bad. God has a will for your life. And you're either in God's will or you're not in God's will. Some of us, well, I'll hold that for a second. Here's what I know to be true, is that all through Scripture, we see the people of God struggle with this. They struggle with God's will. They struggle with trusting God. They struggle with listening to God. And today's Scriptures, the Scriptures I want to share with you, they're all over the place. They're crazy. It's just crazy. It's all over the place. Kind of like I'm all over the place, right? The Scriptures today are all over the place, but they all kind of come back to this one central idea, this one central theme that God has a will for our life. He has a plan for us. Here in Exodus, we see people who are very much like us. They're at the crossroads. And right where they're at this point of decision. And truthfully, they could go either way at this point. They were in need of God to heal them. And they had so much promise. God had so much promise for them. He has so much promise for us. He wants us to trust him because he wants us to experience his promises. His will for our life is filled with promises. in Exodus, he wanted them more than anything to receive, to inherit, to grab a hold of his promise, his will for these people. And yet they were fearful, and they just did not know if they could trust God. They just did not know that they could step out and allow God to help them and protect them and deliver them. And for hundreds of years, these people, they were in bondage, man. They were enslaved, and God raised up this guy. He had a speech impediment. He had to step out. God stepped him out and moved him. He had to step out. Look, the truth is that God's calling you to step out and trust him, to listen to him, because he wants you to make a difference in other people's life, leading them just like Moses led these folks. Look, here's the story. It's in Exodus. And again, some say, well, what's the book of Exodus? And that's okay. Exodus is kind of like an exit ramp. They're exiting out of bondage, right? These people were held in captivity. And Exodus is all about these folks making this departure, exiting from how they were enslaved and held in captivity. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. And Pharaoh did not like this. And I'm telling you, this is a crazy, crazy story. If you don't know the story, I want you to go home and Netflix The Search Guide, Charlton Heston. Okay? And I don't know if it's there or not, but I'm telling you, you'll find it somewhere. And it's the Ten Commandments. Some of you young folks like my kids are saying, what in the heck are you saying? Who's that guy? Is he the NRA guy or whatever? Never mind. So yeah, there's a movie, right? It's a great movie. So my point is this, is that, but you can read the scripture and you don't even have to Netflix. The point is that you read this, it's a powerful story. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and they were panicked, right? Moses led them out of bondage. God had moved them and he pulled them all out. And as they were leading, they came in the midst of this rock and a hard place, right? It's actually the Red Sea. And Pharaoh got so furious, he wanted the people back, and he was coming to get them back to where they had been the last 100 years. And there they were at the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh was coming, and God was moving them out. He was saying, listen to me, trust me, I've got something more for you than to be held in captivity and bondage. And they, like us, they were scared. They panicked when they saw the Egyptians coming for them. They cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? I mean, they just kept going on and on and on. And if I was Moses, I would just want to take a stick or a ball bat and just bang it upside a rock. He actually did that. If you read the Bible, he did. But the point is this, is that it is frustrating, right? Verse 12, didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? And here's the deal. Verse 13, Moses told the people, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Now, folks, I don't know where you're at today, but I believe with all my heart that there's someone here that needs to know you're at the point of decision and you know God's got something more for you. But you're at a place where you need God to do something and you're fearful and you're panicked. And what God said to them, I believe he's saying to you this morning, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch. The Lord's going to rescue you today. The enemy that you see now, it's going to pass. The Lord himself will fight for you. And just stay calm. And when you read the passage of scripture in 15 and 16, let's just look at it real quick. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea, divide a water so that the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea onto dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know what that I am the Lord. Folks, you may be standing at that place, but I'm telling you, God parts the sea for those of us that choose to follow him. He will part the sea for you. His glory will be revealed if you choose to follow him. Here's what's really cool. In Isaiah 30, I found this week, and it just works so well. Isaiah writes this. His people are in the same place in need of blessing. And what's blessing? Blessing is just this need of God putting our life back together, getting in sync with him. And so we see this in verse 18. So the Lord must for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. The Lord does not impose his will, folks. He waits. He waits to show you his love and his compassion. Here's what I know to be true. God's love is patient. His love is kind. God waits. He waits, and he wants you to wait for him. Here's what I also know. We could stand people up through the service, and we're going to have a night like this. I'm not sure. We'll have it at a night, not where we come and share our stories. But there are stories in here. And it's true. Why we need to experience a deeper level of community. Why we need to be involved in life groups. Get to know one another. Because here's the truth. The truth is this, is that there are stories in here that I know where you were at that place, a point of decision. You were at a place and you chose to follow God, and God answered your prayers by parting the sea and offering you blessing, just as it's written here in the scripture. Am I not right? Story after story after story that we can share with other people. Look at verse 19. Oh, people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Some of us have experienced broken relationships. Some of us may be experiencing broken relationships now. The truth is this, is that God answered and he will answer. Some of us are in desperate need of employment. And you're worried, you're concerned, you're crying out to God, you're looking for help, you're looking for answers. Man, per scripture, the deal is don't get ahead of God. Don't be anxious. Wait on him. Fall back and allow him to make the move for you. Look at verse 20. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. What's this about? Here's what it's about. I want to tell you, I have experienced more God through suffering than I've experienced God through blessing. If you choose to wait and to fall back on him and you open your eyes, you will hear him. You will, as it says here in the scripture, see him. You will see God move upon you. What was it in Job? I think it's the last three chapters of Job, 42, if I don't remember. I forget exactly. This is not on the board or whatever, but here's the truth. It says, now that my eyes have seen and my ears have heard, Job says, after he goes through 40-some chapters of incredible suffering, now I have seen and my eyes have heard. Folks, God lives in the suffering. If you are suffering this morning and you're in need of your life being put back together, man, praise God for it, because it's an incredible opportunity to hear from him like you've never heard from him. 21, your own ears will hear him, it says. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go. whether to the right or to the left. Folks, he never fails to offer direction if we listen. And then you will destroy, verse 22, then you will destroy all your silver idols and your precious gold images. You will throw them out like filthy rags, saying to them, good riddance. Man, when you begin to hear the voice of God and you begin to put your trust in him, things begin to happen. You don't want to put your trust in anything else. Because in that trust and in that listening and in that hearing of his truth, there is an element of fulfillment and peace and hope that comes. And it leads you and guides you and delivers you. Are you in a place right now where you know you are not in the will of God? He wants you right now just to pause and to wait on him. Too many times we've settled for less. We've opted out and missed out. And you and I can relate. You and I are no different. Just as I have gotten ahead of God or chose to go a different direction, stepping out of God's will and doing my own thing. And, you know, the thing that's helped me is probably the prayers of my mom. And maybe you didn't have a mom that prayed like that. I think that the Lord holds me accountable to a high degree, being raised in church and having a mom and a dad that prayed and brought me up the right way. My rope is a lot shorter than a lot of folks. But I'm telling you that God, if you didn't have that, God wants you to be that. He wants you to change the trajectory and change the direction. He wants you to make a new way. He wants you to break the generational curse, and he wants you to set up something different for your kids, those who are coming after you. And if you're listening, and if you're trusting, and if you're falling back and allowing him to take the lead, man, God is going to lead you to a place that you would never dreamed, a place of promise, a place of blessing. So are you in the will of God or not? It's not like you have to earn it. You don't have to earn his will, folks. All you have to do is accept him. And he adopts you into his beautiful family. He adopts you into his remnant. And you become an heir to the throne. You are entitled to receive, by way of his covenant promises, blessing and a land that is filled with, like in the Old Testament, milk and honey. God, help us. Help us to listen and help us to trust. This idea of falling back, you know. Yeah, maybe we're opportunistic here this morning. Here's the truth. The truth is when we walk out of here, when we think about falling back, and we think about next year when the clocks fall back, maybe what we need to remember is that when we fall back and allow God to take the lead, we are beginning and moving into a deeper fulfillment of his promise. Is that fair? Man, we all are so busy. And we lead hectic lives, and it's easy to get out of rhythm and out of sync and out of timing. Did you know this, that God is the God of time? I mean, the calendar, in and of itself, is split, right? By God himself, before Christ and after his death, right? I mean, God himself, basically the calendar that we have in store is a way in which we can remember that God is the God of time. And his timing is perfect. Not your timing, his timing. Not your deal, his deal. He will lead you and guide you and lead you in the right time. So today, what I want to do is close out with this psalm that you know. And I want to read it in my version first, then I'm going to read it in the version that we probably all grew up with. Okay? Here's my version, the version I like. I have all that I need. When you have, and here's the truth, when we have the Lord as our shepherd, we have all that we need. Verse 2, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength and he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. And surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Father God, we come to you today, and we got a lot going on, man. Just a lot of fun stuff today. Looking for reasons to celebrate your goodness and your grace. Looking for reasons, God, to celebrate how you have made a way for each one of us. Looking for reasons to celebrate your promises. Lord, your blessing. Lord, what a blessing it was that you led us here 5 years ago and have given us an opportunity to minister to 60,000 cars that drive by this building every day. And the calling that you've placed on our heart and life to grow small in a really big way. God, may it be so. Lord, this church wants to be an example of following your lead. Not doing our will, but God, doing your will for our lives and for being who you've called us to be. Help us as we sort through that. And Lord, help us to be good stewards of it. And this morning, being a good steward of that would be to encourage everyone that comes through these doors, to encourage everyone to seek after you, to follow your will for their life, to trust you and to listen to you. God, I pray you will do that, that you will help us do that. And I pray that people here this morning will do that. Some of us walk in here and we definitely, I know, God, there has to be some folks where they just feel like their life is in need of being put back together. And so this morning, for anyone who is in that place, we have the psalm on the board. And I want you, as a prayer, to read this psalm with me here in the King James, all right? I believe we have that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Man, if we all could just fall back this week, fall back and pull out that psalm and make it your prayer. And allow God to take the lead in your life, okay? Hey, guys, when you walk out of here this morning, shake someone's hand, let them know it's good to see them. And as you walk out, there's pumpkins and gourds and all kinds of crazy things. You have to take more than one, all right? Because I am not hauling those things out of here, all right? So, man, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. And remember to fall back as God leads you, okay? Thank you.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.